So in just a little bit, we will take your calls for Ask the Doctors. The number for that, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Before we turn to those doctors and your calls, we have some other questions. We are all on Omicron watch, and we had a chance to ask Dr. Dan Baruch one of our burning questions. How well do our current vaccines and boosters protect against Omicron? Dr. Baruch is the director of the Center for Virology and Vaccine Research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. And perhaps most importantly, it is the lab that helped design one of the three approved vaccines, Johnson & Johnson. We caught up with Dr. Baruch a little earlier today and started with what his lab is seeing in terms of variants.
What we're seeing is the emergence of a new SARS-CoV-2 variant called Omicron. We've seen new variants emerge several times during the pandemic, and Omicron is different than some of the others. First, it has many more mutations throughout the virus, but particularly in the spike protein, than any other variants we've seen. So it raises the concern that it may partially evade antibodies, both from natural infection and vaccines. It also appears to be spreading very rapidly. It has already become the dominant virus in South Africa, and it's rapidly making inroads in the UK, as well as been detected in many states in the United States.
Remind us, please, what a spike protein is and why the variants on the spike protein could be so troubling.
So the spike protein is the outer protein of the virus. If you think of a cartoon of the virus, it's the thing that sort of sticks up from the ball. And the reason why the spike protein is important is it's the target of antibodies. It's what your body makes antibodies against to try to eliminate the virus. It also is used to infect cells. Basically, if the spike protein has a lot of mutations, then it could infect people a lot more easily, and it also could evade antibodies. And those are the things that we worry about.
You have a view in that very few people ever will, and the history books will later tell us, right? But we get a chance to talk to you now on Omicron. On a scale from 1 to 5 of worry, 1 being the lowest, where are you now, and where were you when you first heard about it?
Well, I actually first heard about Omicron on Thanksgiving Day. I received some email communications from some colleagues who track variants, and there was a lot of alarm that was being sounded on Thanksgiving Day and the day prior that a highly mutated variant was emerging in South Africa. And then the South African researchers presented their results on the day after Thanksgiving, and that led to a lot of global concern.
What are you most tracking now about Omicron? Is it transmissibility, level of severity? Is it its resistance to the current vaccines? What are you paying most close attention to?
We're very interested in all of those questions. In our own lab, we're looking at the ability of the Omicron variant to resist vaccines and whether that will necessitate booster shots, whether that will necessitate revision of the vaccines to make Omicron-specific vaccines moving forward. But we're also following very closely the news reports of how it's spreading in South Africa, in the UK, in Europe, in the United States, and other places.
So several questions coming out of that. You talked about the possibility of having to develop a variant-specific booster. Is it just a matter of time before that's going to be necessary, or is it possible that the vaccines that we're using already can be boosted in their current form and we might only ever need that? We might not ever need to develop a variant-specific booster. Just trying to understand if that's just a matter of time or not.
Well, that's a major question that many groups are trying to answer. It's clear that the original vaccine series have far reduced ability to neutralize Omicron compared with previous variants. There's also emerging data from multiple groups that a booster dose does increase the ability of the antibodies to recognize Omicron, but it's still lower. And how much lower and whether that's transient or whether that's durable remains to be determined.
So I would like to talk about the J&J vaccine for a few minutes now. Your lab helped design that vaccine. initially offered really tremendous promise, especially as a single-dose vaccination that was easier to store and transport, similar efficacy to the mRNA vaccines. Then, of course, came news about the potential for blood clots, and then with Delta and now Omicron, decreased efficacy. Also noting the mRNAs have decreased efficacy with Omicron. Has the trajectory of the J&J vaccine hit bumps that you anticipated, or has the trajectory and the bumps and the slow roll of the vaccine been different than what you thought when it first came out?
Well, I think there have been some bumps in the road. I think the manufacturing slowdown was one of the most important reasons why it rolled out more slowly than we had anticipated. It is on a trajectory to have at least a billion doses, if not 2 billion doses, by the end of next year.
And are you feeling good about its long-term efficacy? And how are you feeling now about warnings about blood clots and other concerns?
I think whenever you roll out a vaccine into tens or hundreds of millions of people, then there will be the emergence of rare side effects. And I think we've seen that with pretty much all the vaccines throughout the world. So I think it's important to keep the very rare risks in perspective. And for, I think, all the vaccines, the benefits substantially outweigh the risks.
And to be clear, the risk of blood clotting was quite rare with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and primarily affected women ages 30 to 39. Have we reached a stage, and this conversation came up as the FDA and CDC were doing their work in the late summer, early fall, have we reached a point where it's likely that at some point the J&J vaccine will be considered a two-dose vaccine in order for somebody to be fully vaccinated? So not including boosters, just basic vaccination.
It depends on how you define fully vaccinated. There may come a time where fully vaccinated will be defined as three doses of the mRNA vaccines or two doses of the J&J vaccine, but we're not quite there yet. But all the vaccines benefit from a booster dose.
And on that booster, I know you know J&J vaccinated folks have the option to choose their booster at this point. Basically, one is allowed to mix and match. J&J is the only vaccine developed using a different method than the mRNA. So Pfizer and Moderna were a different method. Do you have a strong feeling about whether people who are eligible for a booster, who originally had J&J, should get J&J as their booster or should mix with Pfizer and Moderna?
The data on a second dose of the J&J vaccine has very strong efficacy, showing increase in protection compared with a single dose of the J&J vaccine. So a two-dose version of the J&J vaccine gives efficacy in the United States in the 94% range. We don't really have efficacy data with the mix-and-match approach, but there are theoretical benefits. There are interesting immune data in terms of antibody and T-cell responses that might suggest that if you mix and match vaccines, then there could be some benefits. But there isn't a lot of human clinical efficacy data yet.
So again, you have eyes in on this pandemic in a way that very few people do. We are in this moment, Delta still surging, Omicron increasingly present, not sure whether Omicron will overtake Delta or not. But also, we know people are tired. We're seeing pandemic fatigue. We're seeing worry and exhaustion. What do you think is the most important thing we need to do as a nation right now to get over the next hurdle in this pandemic?
Well, we're about 2 years into the pandemic, about a year after highly effective vaccines have become available, and yet we're still seeing surging cases, new variants, increasing hospitalizations, and increasing pandemic restrictions. So I fully understand how people are tired and really want the pandemic to be over and be done with. But we're not there yet. And I think that we do need to maintain a substantial amount of attention to the pandemic. Otherwise, it could get worse. So I think the most important thing now is for people to get vaccinated, and if they're eligible, then to get a booster. In addition, I think it's important for people to follow their public health guidance about indoor masking and other methods of keeping everybody safe. As much as we would like to be done with the pandemic, it's not done with us yet.
All right, that is Dr. Dan Baruch, Director of the Center for Virology and Vaccine Research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. His lab helped design the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Baruch.
Thank you very much.